lens to score developmental text. The technology is called Stage Lens. I'm transitioning from being kind of an academic to being an entrepreneur and started a business called Infinite Solutions. And the first technology that I'm putting out is this Stage Lens technology. This is what I'm going to show. Let you really quickly, or go to the next slide. Say a little bit more about that at the end. This started out maybe 6 or 7 years ago with some conversations with Samantha Freuder about whether we could use AI technology to score the sensitization test. Then I was started working with Terry also. I got some startup funding from the Medical Foundation to do some prototyping, and the results were encouraging enough that I basically spent the next 3 or 4 years with a couple of partners trying to make this work, spending most of my time, all of my money. I'm really into this. I'm all in, as they say. And also thanks to Data Commons for helping us also. So now we're to a place where we're working with data systems and early adopters. I won't say much about stage model. This other visualization of the same model that Kim had up. But basically, we're trying to get the software to guess which of the developmental levels a piece of text falls within. Another visualization of that model is you can basically break it down to 3 questions. What kind of object are you talking about? When you talk about or aware of that kind of object, is it individual or collective? Manifestation of the object, and then also looking at whether the voice is active or passive or some combination of the two. Those are the primary dimensions for that are used for scoring. I keep making a shadow. Maybe that was over here. This is what the assessment looks like. It's a sentence completion test. There's 36 sentence stems that you complete. Take about 45 minutes or an hour to do it. And normally, these are scored by people who train to be scorers for about a year. So it's a complex task. And so taking these assessments is expensive. And it's usually done for individuals or in coaching or leadership programs or an executive team and company. And so obviously one of our goals is to try to make it less expensive to be able to scale up kind of assessment. So when you get scored by a human, you know, each of the 36 stems gets a score, and then you can kind of look at them in terms of like a usually looks kind of like a bell curve. Sometimes there are other interesting patterns. And then there's a pretty straightforward formula for turning these 36 numbers into 1, which is the center of gravity. So you can get 1 center of gravity, but also just looking at the patterns in the spread and stuff is also useful information for people who use this in coaching and so forth. So the technology, trying to automate this, uses machine learning. Now, in artificial intelligence, there are basically 2 kinds of technologies. One is called expert systems, the other is called machine learning. And in expert systems, you try to create rules or computer code that simulates exactly what humans do when they're thinking. We are using machine learning, which is the other method, which is when you hear about AI in the news these days, it's almost always going to be machine learning. And that's a different approach. When you take lots and lots of examples and throw it into a complicated machine learning algorithm that's looking for patterns. And the examples are just student scored assessments. So we have about 20,000 of those in a database, and we're trying to throw it into this complicated machinery with all these things that we can play with and try this and that to try to get it to make the closest guess that we can. And it puts out a model. And then you take that model and use it to score new things where the humans haven't scored it yet, and spits out a number that hopefully is close to what a human would do. So the R&D of this is in playing with, you know, dozens and hundreds of ways we can tweak the dials and try different methods to do that machine learning to try to get it, to try to get the predicted guess to be as close to the true score as you can. So here's, you know, one run that we had, so you can see it's getting close, but there's some error, there's some spread in there. So the process is just about over time, trying more and more things to try to get that error less and less. Another level of complexity in this whole process is that we don't actually throw the text directly into the machine learning algorithm. We do something called feature extraction. So there's a bunch of pieces of code in there called feature processors, and each one of them looks at the text and produces a number. So it could be as simple as the length of the text, the ratio of nouns to verbs. There's some processes that can look at text and tell you the grade reading level, like whether it's a third grade vocabulary or 10th grade vocabulary. So the feature extractors produce a bunch of numbers called features, and that's actually what the machine learning algorithm uses to create the model that you can use in the prediction. So part of the R&D is just to give you a sense that we're like doing lots of stuff to look at all kinds of different features and try to just, there's just a lot of things to mess around with and try to get the accuracy better and better. So right now, so we have usable technology. As I said, we're working with beta partners and clients here. And right now, the system that we have developed is 95% competent to score within plus or minus one level. So that's kind of the error bar. And that's not good enough. It's not as good as a human score. And it's not good enough to give an individual their score, say, your score. It's just not ethical to say, we think you're here when you could be that far off. But it is good enough, and this is the main application area that we'll be focusing on for the near future, is using it for statistical and group types of studies. So just for basic statistics, the more measurements you take, the more the error sort of cancel out. So if you're working, you're measuring 20 people or 100 people, you're doing like a pre and post test, and you're just asking, is there an overall difference? Then we can get pretty close, confident answers. So this is what the output looks like. It's pretty simple. There's an ID for each person, score, and an interesting thing about the software, which doesn't happen in the human scoring, is that the software kind of has an estimate of its own uncertainty. So over here you see, I guess there's 8 people, and this one is saying, I think it's level 4.0, and I'm pretty certain in this one it says this person is a 4.0, and I'm not as certain. And when we can keep these two numbers, again, we don't, at this point in the technology, we don't give you enough information to say, so that's John, and we think that's his level, because it's not. So this is allowing us to move from the usual situation of assessing individuals, leaders usually, approaches, the kinds of people that usually pay these assessments, to looking at collectives. So again, this is kind of like one person's profile, and we just basically sum up over all the different profiles and get a group profile. We do that, we're not just looking for the center of gravity, which is kind of the highlight focal point of an individual consultation when you get an assessment. You really want to look at the whole spectrum. You know, you've got some people in your organization over here, and some over here. That's kind of what we're looking to. And there actually aren't a lot of people thinking about this kind of thing, but not a lot of people doing it in practice. So we're so the whole question of how do you take a profile that looks like something and as a consultant actually use it to make decisions, suggestions in a group context is fairly new. So we're kind of pushing those kind of questions. So these are the kinds of questions that we want to be able to help people with in organizations. Pre-post-test, did that training make a difference? Is this department likely to work well with that department? Can this leadership team manage these people? You know, if you find out that on average, your leaders are less developed than the people they're managing, that's a signal for something. My role is the sort of technology assessment person, so I'm always working with a consultant, an organizational development person who's going to make those kind of calls. I don't presume to have that expertise. How does this organization pair with the industry, culture, and does this team have the capacity that looks like they can meet the challenges or use the tools that they're expected to be using? We collect demographic data, so you can do some interesting kinds of analysis there. This is a made-up example of a company with two different, divisions that they did, four divisions, and two different levels, management and professional. So you can kind of break it down by any kind of demographic categories and compare and contrast. On the website, I have some descriptions of ideas of different kinds of application areas that we think this would be useful in. As integralist and developmentalist, everybody in this group knows that this stuff is useful in almost every sector or domain you can think of. Conflict resolution, medical advising, even mergers and acquisitions, where they say that the biggest cause for failure is what they call culture mismatch. So there might be some application there. So lots of possibilities here. So in terms of where we're going next, right now we're scoring the sentence completion test. Where we're starting to move into some research to see if we can score any text. So that allows. So instead of asking a bunch of people and population to go take this rather strange sentence completion test that has things like, my mother is, it's like, why are you asking that question? You can actually ask them questions that are meaningful to them and meaningful to whoever's organizing the scan of this culture or company and do an assessment of development. So I won't say a lot about this, but I think we all have some intuitions that there are some important ethical concerns when we try to scale up this kind of technology. And we want to be very careful about thinking those through. Kind of move slowly as we roll this out. There's, of course, the problem of putting people into boxes. There's the problem of creating an environment where people think that they should be moving along faster rather than getting healthier at whatever level that they're at. And it can encourage people to focus on just this model of development, of meaning making. When is that a lot of the things that people should be looking at, certainly including shadow. And I'll just say that one thing that I would like to do, and then that's in terms of the mission of this company, the tech company, the holy grail for